Okay, enough said. VOA won the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the podcast, we have stories about an ocean reptile fossil discovered in England, student visas for Africans, and on this week's Words and Their Stories, a way of discussing life's ups and downs. But first,
astronomers have discovered a black hole with a mass about 33 times greater than that of our sun. It is the second biggest black hole known in the Milky Way. Only the supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy is bigger. The newly identified black hole is about 2,000 light-years from Earth, says a new study in the publication Astronomy and Astrophysics. A light-year is about 9.5 trillion kilometers. The black hole is in the constellation Aquila and has a companion star orbiting it, researchers said on Tuesday. Black holes are extremely dense objects. They have gravity so strong, not even light can escape, making it difficult to find them. The European Space Agency's Gaia mission found the black hole. Gaia is carrying out a huge stellar count. The scientists saw that the black hole caused its companion star to wobble. Data from the European Southern Observatory's Chile-based Very Large Telescope and other ground-based observatories confirmed the black hole's mass. This black hole is not only very massive, it is also very peculiar, said Pasquale Panuzzo. He is a research engineer at the French research agency CNRS and lead writer of the study. For instance, the black hole called Gaia BH3 and its companion are traveling within the galaxy in the opposite direction of how stars usually orbit in the Milky Way. Gaia BH3 probably formed after the supernova, or explosive death, of a star that was more than 40 times as large as the Sun, the researchers said. Black holes that result from the collapse of a single star are called stellar black holes. Gaia BH3 is the largest known stellar black hole, said astronomer and study co-author Tsevi Maze of the Tel Aviv University in Israel. Stellar black holes are small compared to supermassive black holes at the center of most galaxies. Sagittarius A is the supermassive black hole at the heart of the Milky Way. It is 4 million times the mass of the Sun and is located about 26,000 light-years from Earth. Gaia BH3's progenitor star was made almost entirely of hydrogen and helium. Stars in the early universe were of similar chemical formation, known as low metallicity. The progenitor star had formed early in the universe's history, perhaps 2 billion years after the Big Bang. When it exploded at the end of its lifespan, it released material into space. The remains violently collapsed to form a black hole. The discovery of Gaia BH3 supports stellar evolution models showing that massive stellar black holes can be produced only by a low metallicity star like this one's progenitor star, Panuzzo said. Gaia BH3's companion star is about 76% of the mass of the Sun. it is a bit colder, but around 10 times brighter. A measure called an astronomical unit, or AU, is the distance between the Earth and the Sun. Gaia BH3's companion star orbits the black hole at a changing distance between 4.5 AU and 29 AU. By comparison, Jupiter orbits around 5 AU from the Sun, and Neptune around 30 AU. Elisabetta Caffaut is an Observatoire de Paris astronomer and a co-writer of the study. She said she was surprised that the chemical composition of this companion star does not show anything special, so it was not affected by the supernova explosion of the black hole. Scientists are not sure just how big stellar black holes can be. The maximum mass for a stellar black hole is a matter of active scientific debate, Panuzzo said. I'm Dan Novak.
Ancient fossil found by a girl and her father on a beach in England belongs to a creature that might have been among the largest animals ever on Earth. Researchers said in a recent study that the fossilized bone, called a syrangular, was from a reptile called an ichthyosaur that lived in the sea. Based on its size, compared to the same bone in closely related ichthyosaurs, the researchers estimated that the creature was between 22 and 26 meters long. They named it Ichthyotitan severnensis. That would make it possibly the largest known marine reptile. Its size would be close to the largest whales alive today. The blue whale, considered the largest animal ever to have lived, can reach about 30 meters in length. Marine reptiles lived in the world's oceans at the same time that dinosaurs lived on the land. Ichthyosaurs disappeared 90 million years ago. They came in several sizes. The creatures ate fish and other sea animals. Ichthyotitan, however, is known only from two jawbones. The jaw forms the lower part of the mouth. Ruby Reynolds and her father, Justin Reynolds, found one of the bones in 2020 at Blue Anchor in Somerset. The other bone is from a different Ichthyotitan individual found in 2016, along the Somerset coast at Lilstock. Dean Lomax was the lead writer of the study published recently in PLOS ONE. Lomax said, "It is quite remarkable to think that gigantic, blue whale-sized ichthyosaurs were swimming in the oceans around the time that dinosaurs were walking on land in what is now the UK, during the Triassic period." The Triassic period describes a time over 200 million years ago. Ruby Reynolds was 11 at the time she and her father discovered the fossil syrangular bone on the beach. Ruby continued to search the area and found a second piece, much larger than the first, partly buried in the ground. They then contacted Lomax, an ichthyosaur expert, and more parts of the bone were unearthed. Ruby's part in the discovery has led to comparisons with Mary Anning. Anning was a 19th-century British fossil hunter who, among other things, discovered ichthyosaur fossils when she was 12. I think Mary Anning was an incredible paleontologist, and it's amazing to be compared to her, Ruby said. Justin Reynolds added, "It has been an amazing and fun experience to work with these experts, and we are proud to be part of the team and co-authors of a scientific paper which names a new species and genus. Fossil collector Paul de la Salle found the 2016 remains, now identified as Ichthyotitan. The big marine reptile was a member of a family of giant ichthyosaurs called Shastasauridae. These creatures lived 13 million years later than other ichthyosaurs. They survived until a worldwide event caused many kinds of animals to disappear about 201 million years ago at the end of the Triassic period. No other fossils from Ichthyotitan have been discovered. But the researchers have been able to guess at its appearance based on other members of its family, including Shonisaurus from British Columbia, Canada. Study co-writer Jimmy Waldron used the term humbled, meaning to be made to feel less important or proud, to describe the discoveries. Waldron said, "Discoveries like this create incredible moments where we become humbled at our size and place in the world." I'm John Russell.
Activists say visa denial rates for African students seeking higher education in the United States are too high. Fanta Av is executive director of NAFSA, Association of International Educators. NAFSA is a nonprofit organization that supports international student exchange. Av said, "Data released in 2023 by the President's Alliance on Higher Education and Immigration shows visa rejections." She said the rejection rates for African students are higher than rates for students from the Middle East, South America, and South Asia. At the same time, however, the IEEE Open Doors report says the number of students from sub-Saharan Africa studying in the U.S. is growing. The most recent Open Doors report, which follows foreign students in the U.S., shows that the number of students from African countries south of the Sahara Desert increased by 18%. Av said the rejection numbers mean many more African students could be studying in the U.S. Fewer American students are going to college, and not as many Chinese students are studying in the U.S. African students could help replace those groups, she said. Last year, big percentages of students from several large African countries were denied study visas. In 2023, examples include Ethiopia at 78%, Nigeria at 75%, and Kenya at 74%. For those countries, the percentages are high, but the number of students going to the U.S. is also high. For example, Nigeria ranked 7th in the 2023 Open Doors report, with over 17,600 students studying in the U.S. The total is an increase of 22% over 2022. Av, representatives from the President's Alliance, and Shorelight met with representatives from the State Department last summer. Shorelight is a business that connects international students with universities that offer the study programs they want.
The U.S. State Department said students should have the chance to secure a student visa no matter where they are from. The groups decided to continue discussing their concerns in the future. of said activists want to discover the reason for the disproportionate number of denials. Only about 1 in 10 European students were denied visas in 2023, for example. One concern, Av said, is to make certain those who review visa applications are fully trained in the way they make determinations for student visas. She wants to be sure African students are considered in the same way as students from other parts of the world. In addition, she asked for more student visa appointments. Av said many students who want to come to the U.S. get discouraged and turn to education in other countries. Word goes around, don't bother because you're never going to make it, Av said. And that is not the message any of us want to see.
So don't get me wrong, students want to go to China, want to go to India, there's nothing wrong with that or other places. But it shouldn't be because, you know, they couldn't get here.
She noted that education programs build bridges as students go on to international jobs and make connections with the U.S. Av also noted that as education systems improve around the world, students have more choices. U.S. officials told VOA that international students are very important, or a top priority. They added that all visa applications are processed on their individual merits and under U.S. immigration law. Leon Fresco is an immigration lawyer in Washington, D.C. Fresco said he wants to know more about this weird African disparity. He said he wants more people to know about it to, in his words, start the process of fixing it. Both Fresco and Av suggested that U.S. government officials are not up to date on the quality of students aiming to study in the U.S. In the case of Africa and India, Av said, most of these students are graduate students who are coming for science and business fields, areas that are very much needed and where innovation happens.
So we want to make sure there's an understanding that Africa and African countries are changing rapidly and that we're not keeping, you know, preconceived notions or outdated notions about what's happening in Africa.
In an email to VOA, a representative from the State Department said, its Education USA program aims to help Africans attend U.S. colleges. But as more students are interested in studying in the U.S., the percentage of visa denials will increase. It also noted that more Africans received student visas in 2023 than ever before. Countries like Nigeria, Ghana, Zimbabwe, Uganda, Eswatini, Ivory Coast, and Madagascar have had more student visas approved than at any time in the past 20 years. Compared to 2019, the year before the COVID-19 pandemic, there was a 61% increase in approved student visas among those countries.
Av said her group sees progress. She gave the example that students no longer need to have in-person interviews in order to renew their visas. And students can also apply for visa renewal without traveling to their home country. A group of American lawmakers wrote a letter earlier this year to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. They said that educational exchange is an important part of international diplomacy. It is critical that foreign students from Africa are treated similarly to foreign students from other parts of the world. There should be no reason that the State Department data should reflect such disparities among similarly situated countries, the letter read. And as Av noted, the results that come from students having a good experience in the U.S. last for years. She said, if we have a generation of students who are denied access to an education here in the U.S., that's a generation that will have missed out in building friendships, bridges, businesses, and so forth.
I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English Podcast. You just heard a story about concerns some education advocates have about the high rate of visa denials for African students wishing to come to the U.S. We're joined now by VOA's immigration reporter, Alini Barros, who wrote the story. Thanks for joining us, Alini.
Thanks for having me.
So you mentioned that a number of groups are concerned that African students who'd like to come to school in the U.S. are having trouble getting the F1 or student visas. And now they're possibly considering going to countries other than the U.S. Do you think that this is happening for real, or is it that African students end up staying home for school if they can't come to the U.S.?
Well, based on what advocates told me, there is a notable trend of African students trying to attend higher education abroad outside of the African continent. And I think it's important to say that Africa's a huge continent with 54 countries, right, according to the United Nations. So it's important to treat African students and remember that they have this diverse background and diverse interest. With that being said, there has been two studies in the last 2 years that show that the United States is actually the third destination for African students. And before that, you see France, you have Canada, Australia. They are placing among the top places for African students. I spoke with some people for this story, and one person in particular, she told me that she had her visa was rejected and denied. She was going to try it again to come to the United States, but that she was going to go to school in her home place. So based on what I saw, based on what I heard, people will either try to go to another country or they will stay home and try. And if they have access and if they have resources, they will attend school in the place that they live.
We're talking with Voice of America's immigration reporter, Alini Barros. Alini, when education advocates say visa reviewers have preconceived notions about African students, what are the notions? Is it that these students don't have enough money, they don't have as much money as they say they do, or they have a reputation for overstaying their visa?
So just to clarify, it's not that African students have a reputation of overstaying their visas. It's that the Department of Homeland Security will send a report and show to State Department, hey, here are the countries, not just in Africa, this is all over the world. Here's the populations of, you know, just a report so they can better adjudicate a case. That's not to say that, let's say that I am from a country in Africa, in the continent of Africa, and the country has the highest percentage of overstayers in the U.S., that doesn't mean that I'm not going to get a visa. So, because other things will play into that decision, how much money I have in the bank, how much money my family is able to help me out with. It comes down really to how you can show a consular officer that your educational history, financially, how you can support yourself.
Alini, are we going to see big-time educational visa reform in the near future, or is it going to happen, as we would say in English, in dribs and drabs? Like, we'll see a small change this year and a small change next year, but 20 years from now, we'll see significant reduction in the amount of visa denials for African students.
I don't see any immigration reform. However, there isn't a quota for international students. An international student visa is a non-immigrant visa, which means it allows you to stay here temporarily. So really, the changes that advocates have been asking is just, hey, be fair. I don't want to say I'm optimistic, but I think we'll see an increase in visa issuances for African students because the trend is going. But I am interested in see what's going to happen with the visa denials. and what state will tell us the reasons for those denials.
We were just talking with Eleni Barros, Voice of America's immigration reporter. Thanks again for joining us today on the Learning English podcast.
And thanks for having me.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Life has its ups and downs. We all have good days and bad days. Sometimes life seems easy, sometimes difficult. We can't always feel on top of the world every day. Today, we explore some idioms and expressions that describe this common condition of life. A windshield is the transparent screen, usually of glass, on a vehicle. It protects the people inside, but to many insects, a windshield can also be a screen of death. Take a drive in America in the warm months, especially on higher speed roads, and watch as many bugs meet their end on the windshield glass. And that is where we get our first expression. Some days you're the windshield, and some days you're the bug. On good days, we reach our goals. We get things done. On those kinds of days, we are taking care of business. We are killing it. On those days, we are the windshield. But then our luck changes. Things don't go our way. We may be down in the dumps or just down on our luck. For whatever reason, we are not at the top of our game. On these days, we are the bugs. This expression is very informal, so it is not very serious. Similar expressions include peaks and valleys. Peaks are high, while the valleys are low. You can also say, you win some, you lose some. And sometimes we refer to life as a roller coaster ride. Roller coasters are famous for their high climbs and sharp drops. Now, let's hear two people use some of these expressions in a short conversation. Hey, what's wrong? You look a little down.
I just got some bad news from a project I'm working on, and things were going so well.
Well, you know what my grandma Gardenia used to say? Some days you're the windshield, and some days you're the bug.
Today I definitely feel like the bug.
I'm sure things will look better tomorrow. Granny Gardenia also used to say, you win some, you lose some.
You know, you're right. We all go through tough times.
That's the spirit. Every time I hit a rough patch, Granny Gardenia would say, don't let a little setback get you down. Tomorrow is a new day.
Thanks for the encouragement. I appreciate it.
Don't thank me. Thank my grandma. It's impossible to be down in the dumps around Granny Gardenia. The British band Dire Straits has a song about the subject of life's good times and bad. It's called The Bug. The song reminds us that we should enjoy the good times because they are temporary. As the song goes, sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. Do you have a similar expression in your language? Let us know in the comments section or send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo.
And that's the Learning English podcast for today. Thanks again, Ana. And thanks to all my VOA colleagues for their work on today's program.
Most importantly, Thank you for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedel.